Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
The saying goes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You've heard that. In the opening credits of a new book called Beauty Begins, Matthew Barnett from the Dream Center says, beauty in the eyes of the world is distorted. And the more I looked at the book Beauty Begins, I certainly have to agree with him. I think, Ted, isn't that true that you think about how the world views beauty? I mean, it is totally all about surface things.
Very external, yes. Yeah. I mean, airbrushing on magazine covers to just regular photos and social media filters, and you can go on and on. Yeah, it's an accurate truth there.
We're going to talk today about making peace with your reflection, which is the subtitle of a new book called Beauty Begins. And looking forward to a conversation with Chris Shook and her daughter, Megan Shook Alpha. Chris and her husband, Carrie, are... best-selling authors of One Month to Live. Remember the great book out a couple of years ago, and Be the Message. Together, they minister at Woodland Hills Church outside Houston, Texas. And Megan Shook Alpha is a graduate of Baylor University and works as a pastor to students at Woodlands Church. And we're looking forward to getting that conversation coming up. So talking beauty today, another quote in the book from Martin Buxbaum, this one caught my attention. Some people, no matter how old they get, never lose their beauty. They merely move it from their faces into their hearts. I like that.
I like that, too.
We'll talk about the beauty today. You know, I don't know if you haven't had, in terms of things going on, I hadn't really had a lot of time or taken time to watch the Olympics. I don't know if you've been watching much.
Yeah, some. I'm a big volleyball fan.
Oh, sure, yeah, because your daughter's
she's
playing,
into
right?
it. Yeah, yeah. I used to play competitively too when I was younger. You wouldn't know that by looking at me now. But yeah, so it's fun to watch very highly skilled athletes go at it.
It is amazing. Well, Michael Phelps, someone say he's his own country now in terms of gold medals, right? 21.
Yeah, he's won 21 golds, 25 overall.
That is amazing.
His own country.
So, yeah, way to go. And the American gymnasts, the girls, wow, they just nailed it.
Or cruised.
Stuck it, I guess, is what
they
said.
Yeah, right. So. They didn't have hardly any competition. Sometimes those can go down to the wire, and they just sailed right through.
Well, speaking of gymnastics, a Mexican gymnast who just competed at the Rio Olympics has been targeted by cruel body-shaming comments.
Oh, no.
But fortunately, they were soon overshadowed by some inspirational and positive messages. But Alexa Moreno is age 22, finished 31st. In her various activities, Mexico is largely unrepresented in gymnastics. However, the usual suspects took a chance to body shame her on Twitter.
Of course,
she's a larger gal, and just like it just doesn't end. So we're going to talk. One of the things we'll discuss today is how do we deal with social media, and particularly in terms of body image, because That is a cruel world there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so easy just to fire off something and from the safety of, behind the screen, but it really has an impact. Words hurt.
No question about it. Well, a little bit later this hour, we're going to hear from Leith Anderson. Leith is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and he checks in every couple of weeks with us, and we're going to talk today about a new resource for students called Hope for Students. We'll talk about that coming up here in the next in about 30 minutes or so, but in just a minute, we'll introduce you to Chris Shook and Megan Shook Alpha, but right now it's time to have a little conversation around the dinner table at John Stone Street.
Want to talk religion? Pass the potatoes. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Religion, it's the ultimate conversation killer around the dinner table. Or is it? Fewer than half the respondents to a New Lifeway research survey said they'd had at least three spiritual conversations in the past month. More than 20% said they had none. In fact, the survey suggests Americans are more comfortable talking about politics than about religion. Now, that's a shame because, as Eric Metaxas explained on Breakpoint recently, while we're not comfortable talking about religion, most Americans are open to hearing about it. In fact, more than half of the Lifeway survey respondents felt they'd have more to learn from a spiritual conversation than what they would have to share. Interestingly, evangelicals were more likely to engage in spiritual conversations, but less likely to think that they have more to gain from listening than sharing. As Lifeway Scott McConnell said, if you don't care what your neighbors believe, chances are they won't listen to what you have to say. So go ahead, talk about religion, but use your ears too. I'm John Stone Street.
Good word from John Stonestreet today. Have the conversation, but listening is an important part of conversation too, right? Glad to have you part of our conversation today. I'm looking forward to it. We do have some copies of this new book to give away, and I want to encourage you. This will be maybe a bit similar to our conversation yesterday, or a nice follow-up to it, and you maybe something, and this is an area where you struggle with, and just in terms of dealing with beauty and body image, all those things. So I hope that you will give us a call and sign up for one of the three copies of Beauty Begins, the book that we have to give away, Making Peace with Your Reflection. It's a new book written by Chris Shook and her daughter, Megan Shook Alpha. Chris and Megan, welcome to Connecting Faith. We're glad to have some time to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having us.
We're excited to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about this this topic, because it is something where, boy, I mean, we live in a culture that's obsessed with beauty. I mean, you can't go by a magazine stand or turn on the TV or go to the mall. You're just bombarded by images and ideals that our culture thinks is important. It was interesting. I noticed one of the questions you ask in the book is, would you rather be described as beautiful or pretty? Maybe talk about what the difference is and what the answer ought to be.
Yeah, so in the book, we describe the difference between beautiful and pretty. Beautiful is something that is everlasting, that's not going to change. When pretty is something that's temporary, that changes really easily. And so we're describing to women that what we should want to be is beautiful. We should want to look for those characteristics that are found inside of us and the personality we have. Instead, though, our world is telling us to focus on what's pretty, to focus on our outer appearance and changing the way we look in our hair and our clothes and our body. But that's something that's so temporary that's not going to last, and we should be working on things that are going to make a difference and that are going to last forever.
Well, you address the mirror addiction, which really kind of sums up the world in which we live, doesn't it? I mean, we just can't seem to help ourselves, and there's most of us have way too many mirrors in our house, probably.
Yeah, it's true.
Just talk about some of the mirrors that shape our view. I mean, you sort of touched on it, but it's not just the physical mirrors, right? There are other mirrors that really influence us and how we view ourselves in terms of our body image.
Absolutely. Well, the very first mirror that young girls look into is the eyes of their mother, I believe. I mean, it's their mother and their father, but especially their mother in that identity of thinking, this is what a woman is. This is what it means to be beautiful. And, what little girl doesn't think that her mom is the most beautiful woman in the world? And so we look into the eyes of our mothers, and then we also look into the eyes of our peers and culture. And oftentimes we get extremely mixed messages coming from culture saying, this is what you should look like. This is what you should act like. And if your eyelashes aren't a couple inches long and your legs aren't just super skinny, and if you don't have hair that's really long and bouncy and beautiful, then forget it. You just haven't added up. You haven't measured up in the eyes of the world. And the problem is we're asking the right question, but we're asking the wrong mirror. And the real mirror that we should all be asking and looking into is the mirror of Christ's eyes, the mirror of God's eyes, seeing what His Word says about us and what the Bible defines as beautiful.
Well, say more about that. Maybe just some encouragement for those, some people listening that can't listen to the whole show. It's like they need a word of encouragement. What does God's word say? How do we see as Jesus sees us in terms of our beauty?
Well, the Bible tells us that we are created in His image. And so that right there tells you that every woman listening, no matter your age, you may be a young girl or a teenager, a mom, middle-aged grandma, it doesn't matter. This transcends culture and age, shape and size. The Bible says we're created in God's image, and He creates beautiful things. And Christ Himself is beautiful. And the more that our lives look like Christ's life, the more we become like Him in growing in being loving and encouraging and patient and kind, the more beautiful we are. I think it's really easy to see when you think about what kind of person would you rather spend the afternoon with. If I told you, you could spend the afternoon, to tell the women listening that if you could spend the afternoon with a woman who is just dressed in the latest styles and looks perfect, looks like a cover model, but yet she is mean and jealous and backbiting and thinks only of herself, well, there's one person you could spend the afternoon with. Or would you like to spend the afternoon with this woman dressed very, in everyday clothes? Maybe you wouldn't look twice if you passed her on the street, but she's kind and listens to everything you have to say, and she's loving, and she will encourage you. I think all of us right away know who we would rather spend time with, but somehow we start thinking that to please everyone else, we need to be like that first woman. We need to look perfect to really want to be around other people. But instead, it's exactly the opposite. If we just become the kind of person that we ourselves would want in our lives, that takes care of a whole lot of it and answers a lot of our questions about what is it like to be beautiful.
Megan, I don't know if you want to add to that, because I know the one of the things you talk about is that, and maybe it's an important distinction, that culture says beauty begins with us. I mean, I think we're all about us. I mean, we know that at our roots we're selfish anyway by nature, but that's an important distinction in this area of beauty, isn't it?
Yeah, so our culture tells us that everything is about us, that we need to focus on ourselves. We even have selfies now, and that it's all about us and what we look and how we're acting. But the real thing is, when you walk into a room, a lot of times you're thinking, oh, what is everyone thinking of me? But the real thing is no one's thinking of you. They're all thinking of themselves. And so it's funny that all of us are just so focused on ourselves, and that's what the world tells us. But what the Bible tells us is that if we're focused on other people, then we're not going to be overwhelmed by wanting to change ourselves and wanting to be a certain way. That most of the time, if you can think of any time that you've ever helped a friend or a loved one, that when you're helping them, you're usually not thinking of yourself and how you look and if you look good helping them. But you're thinking of, oh, how can I help you? How can I love you? What can I get for you to make your life easier? And you're not thinking of yourself. And most of the time, that's when we aren't focused on ourselves and we don't get overwhelmed with being a certain way. And I know that most women nowadays, we get so stressed out and overwhelmed that we need to look and be and act a certain way. But when we're focused on other people, that worry and that stress and that overwhelming feeling, it dissipates. It disappears because God's love takes over and we realize that, that's not the point of life, is to focus on ourselves. But if we're helping others, not only are we helping someone, but in return, we get filled up.
Talking today with Megan Shook-Alpha and Chris Shook, mother and daughter, have written this book together called Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. Chris is co-author of two best-selling books, One Month to Live and Be the Message, with her husband, Carrie, and together they minister at Woodlands Church outside of Houston, Texas. And Megan Shook-Alpha is a Baylor University graduate and works as pastor to students at Woodlands Church as well. And they've teamed up for this great new book. We've got three copies to give away. Would love to put one in your hands today and invite you to call to sign up for that, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And it may be that you have a question. Maybe there's a daughter in your home that is struggling with body image and you're wondering what to do. Coming up here in a moment, we'll talk a little bit about depression in women. We'll talk eating disorders, insecurities of other kinds, and social media, all those things. We'd love to have you join the conversation as well. Or you can submit a question at myfaithradio.com if you go to the Connecting Faith show page. 877-93-FAITH, the phone number. Chris Shook and Megan Shook-Alpha, my guests today. We're talking Beauty Begins.
Yeah.
We're talking beauty today. Beauty, body image, making peace with your reflection. That's the subtitle of the new book from a mother and daughter team, Chris and Megan Shook. It's called Beauty Begins. We've got some copies to give away and love to get one to you. I want to hear, Chris and Megan, maybe both of you, if you maybe when did or how did you struggle with body image issues, and does it still go on, or maybe how did it play out in your own lives? And Mom, you can talk about how you tried to help Megan go through some of those times as well.
So this is Megan. So I am just a couple of years out of college, and going through high school, of course, I know we all know is a, you know, difficult time in our lives where we have a lot of peer pressure and just culture that are pushed on us. And especially during that time was when Instagram and Facebook came out. And so it was just became easier for us to compare ourselves with each other. And so sometimes I would find myself going through Instagram and I come across a random girl that I'm comparing my body to. And I don't even know who she is or where she's from or anything about her. And I stop and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm comparing myself to this person I don't know who knows if they exist or this is what they really look like. And during those years of high school and even nowadays, it's something that I deal with, just body image and just all women. I feel like as I grow older, yes, I know more about how to tell myself what's real and what's not and the truth of how beautiful I am. But still, it can be difficult in days, and especially when I was going through depression, and I still deal with it sometimes. And it's something that I feel like you can only understand when you're in it, but you just become so low and feel so worthless and unworthy to even live at times. And during that time, I realized that, you know, there was nothing that I could do to make myself better, that that I was never going to change my mindset on my own, but that I had to turn to God and let him take over because I was so overwhelmed with these disgusting feelings of myself, and I had to let God take over. And then what helped me during that time practically, besides just praying and trying to read the Bible, what really helped a lot was the friends that I had around me, that they were encouraging and they were also on the same path I was and towards this, you know, headed towards the same goals in life and one of the same things. And they would lift me up and encourage me. And then also what helped was not focusing on myself, but spending my day trying to focus on others. Something my mom always told me when I was struggling, when I would call her crying and upset, she would tell me, after encouraging me, she would tell me that, you know, I'm so sorry you feel this way, but you know there's probably someone else out there who feels just like you or even worse that needs your encouragement. And so she would challenge me to go and to help somebody else and to encourage somebody else. And it's the last thing you want to do when you're feeling bad about yourself. But it's definitely the best thing that you can do. And so I would try to go make someone else's day. And I would maybe fold my roommate's clothes and make their bed if I was home and they weren't. And just do little things to try and make somebody else's day. Because for all we know, someone else is struggling more than we are. And not only did it help someone else, but like I was saying earlier, when I took the focus off myself, I became less overwhelmed and honestly more overjoyed and more at peace with who I am and who God made me to be.
Thanks, Megan. Chris, how about you? Just to share a bit about maybe how you is something that you deal with still, or even as a pastor's wife, are there, you know, maybe opportunities to minister to other women that are struggling with this?
Absolutely. I can tell you that regardless of age, and it doesn't matter if you're a pastor's wife or, you know, what your husband does, what you do as a vocation, every woman is somehow hardwired by God to have this desire to be beautiful. And so we struggle with insecurity on whenever we aren't focused on really believing the truth about what God says about our beauty. And so I struggle with insecurity every day that I don't look to him. And so it's a daily battle. And we have to constantly renew our minds. And the reason for this, I think more than in any other generation, is that we are bombarded all day long from every direction with images of women. And this feeling of comparing ourselves can crop up so easily if we don't daily make the decision to, okay, I'm going to focus on what God says and I'm going to focus on others. You know, that I'm going to end up third in this equation. I'm going to focus on God, focus on others, but not focus on myself, or as Megan said, you know, wonder what everyone else is thinking of me, but instead, you know, turn that around and focus on how can I help others. And it makes all the difference. And I know that as a mother, we, you know, all mothers deal with insecurity at times about this, and it's so easy for mothers to inadvertently pass on this insecurity to their daughters. And the way we do this is I think oftentimes as moms say the right words to our daughters. We say, honey, you're beautiful. It's what's on the outside that is superfluous. It doesn't matter, but it's what's on the inside that counts. And I love you just the way you are. We say the right things and we really mean them. But then we look at ourselves in the mirror and we criticize and complain about our own looks, and our daughters are watching us. Now they're in the same room. They're looking over our shoulders, and at times when we don't even notice, they see us being critical of ourselves. And so what a daughter takes away from that is that, okay, this is who I think is the most beautiful woman in the world, and she thinks that she doesn't measure up. She thinks she's ugly. These things about my mom that I thought were beautiful, she's saying that they're bad and they're not enough, and therefore I too must not be enough. And so as moms, I think it's really important to recognize the fact that even when we're saying the right things to our daughters, what they pick up more than that is our attitude toward ourselves.
We're going to talk more with Chris and Megan Shook. Chris Shook and Megan Shook Alpha, mother-daughter team, have written a new book called Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. If you don't make peace with your reflection, you'll end up declaring war on yourself. We got some copies of this wonderful resource to give away. You can sign up for that at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, talking beauty and body image today. And if you have a question, or maybe someone that you're working with that we know and love and care about, that you're looking for some advice, we would love to have you join the conversation. 877-933-2484. Chris is the co-author of the book Beauty Begins. She's written a couple other books with her husband, Carrie. They minister at Woodlands Church outside Houston, Texas. Megan Shook Alpha, graduate of Baylor University and works as a pastor to students at Woodlands Church, joining us today on Connecting Faith. We'll come back in a moment. We're going to talk a little bit about what women wear, and that there's actually a wardrobe that God recommends. And we'll get to that and more coming up in just a moment. Stay tuned. Talking about beauty today, body image, and all that kind of goes into that, and it's a daily battle for many. Beauty begins, but the struggle doesn't end. We're talking Beauty Begins. The subtitle of the book is Making Peace with Your Reflection, written by Chris Shook and the Megan Shook Alpha, mother-daughter teaming up for this great resource. And I know that you, in the book, talk a little bit about, you know, what we wear. I mean, that's a pretty big issue for women. Guys don't want to, you know, get involved in that at all generally, but you do have some advice about what God's wardrobe, what he's picked out for us to wear. Why don't we just touch on that a bit?
Yeah, so it says in the Bible in Colossians 3:12-14 that, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. And it goes on just pretty much saying we need to dress ourselves in love. And so when we wake up in the morning, a lot of times as women, we spend an hour or more, putting makeup on and putting, choosing our clothes and, oh, no, we don't like that, trying something else and, just looking at ourselves in the mirror, maybe even putting ourselves down. And so in the morning, what we need to be doing is honestly having our quiet time in the morning, starting off our day right, starting off our day with God so that the rest of our day we're thinking about Him. And so when we wake up in the morning, we need to be thinking, we need to be putting on love and kindness and humility and all of these things because, like we were saying earlier, that's what is beautiful. That's what is everlasting. And that's what's going to leave a legacy and change people's lives and even change your life is putting on those characteristics.
You know, we do live in a time where cruelty seems like it's kind of a common thing. And the story just out yesterday or today about this Mexican gymnast, the body shaming that took place on social media. How do you maybe kind of guard against what goes on social media and maybe, particularly your kids uh-huh. so that they're not really wrapped up in that. And Megan, even as you said, you find yourself just kind of comparing. That's a real issue.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I feel like, even with our book, something that I've, noticed that I've been doing is looking on social media and seeing what people say about it and there are some people who are criticizing it. And the thing is, at first, I let it get me down. But then I realized that it doesn't matter what those people say, that we have to be strong enough in our faith and strong enough in the truth of how God sees us, that we won't falter when we see other people putting us down. And that, I don't think that social media is a bad thing, but if we're using it the wrong way, then it is bad. And, if we are looking on social media at everything people are saying about us, or we're so focused on how many likes we get, or so focused on our comments, and if people think we're beautiful, or we look good in a picture, then we're not using it properly, and we're too focused on ourselves. But I feel like when you do have, come across that situation where you're being put down or criticized by somebody on social media, or even in person, that you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt and be like, I know the truth and I know that I am beautiful and I know what God thinks of me. And so, there's always going to be critics and there's always going to be, those people who put you down in your life. But we have to realize the truth that we are beautiful and that, we're going to struggle in that way, but that God, thinks we are gorgeous, and that's what truly matters.
I know you address mentoring. Maybe Chris, talk a bit about what could an older woman tell a younger woman that could really be helpful in this whole area of image and insecurity.
With age comes a great deal of wisdom that you can recognize. It only comes from looking in the rearview mirror, and I don't think there are many of us who wouldn't do some things differently when we were younger. And it's only as we age, we realize, wow, it turns out that it didn't matter what all those other people thought. What mattered was that I followed the path that Christ had for me. And those are words that younger moms, or it may be if you're a grandma, maybe you're in your 70s, maybe there's someone in their 50s or 60s who needs to hear from you. Or if you're in your 40s, there's someone in their 20s, I bet, who's a neighbor or friend of yours, someone whose path you crossed. Or if you're in your 20s, but there's a junior high or teenage girl who could really use a few words of encouragement from you. There's always someone coming up behind us who could greatly benefit from just being able to share our story. Nobody can argue with your story, with your testimony, because it's your own story of what God has done in your life. People can argue about theology and argue about little differences, but no one can argue with the truth of what God has done in your life. And honestly, sharing that you know, when I was your age, this is what, you know, I don't know if you feel this way, but this is how I felt, and this is something that helped me, or this is something that I now realize. Just spending 5 or 10 minutes, you know, talking to someone or making the time to have coffee with somebody and share a few words of encouragement with them can make all the difference in someone else's life. You just don't know the tough times that someone else is going through. And as much encouragement as we can offer and as much as we can mentor, we spend a lot of time looking for ways to help ourselves. But I believe that as we try to spend just as much time looking for people who could use a little help, that'll change their lives and ours at the same time.
And you kind of touched on it a little bit, but certainly having the right friends is going to make a difference, I think, especially for young women, right, to surround herself with gals that are kind of heading in the same direction and sort of have the same mindset too, right? I mean, that's going to make a big difference to stand against the culture.
Yeah, it definitely makes a big difference. I know that as a student pastor, I come across a lot of girls who, you know, they almost know that they shouldn't be with the friends they're with, but they're with them because they're the popular girls or, you know, people know them and they're pretty. And the hardest thing is that a lot of times because those girls are so focused on themselves, that they're not focused on others. And a lot of times they're more about putting themselves up and putting others down. And so I always challenge my students. And I know what made a huge difference for me is that I found my friends in the church and people that were headed the same direction as me. And so when we were together and we were putting ourselves down, that instead of, you know, a lot of times girls, when they get together, they start putting themselves down and everyone, you know, consecutively does it together. And instead, my friends would be lifting me up and encouraging me when I was down and when I was struggling. And so it is such a big deal to surround yourself with a core group of people that are on the same path as you and believe in the same things you do and are just, you know, as loving and encouraging.
Say a word about the role of dads with maybe daughters and the importance of a dad affirming the beauty in his little girl.
Well, the first man that every little girl wants to think she's beautiful is her dad. And you dads have just incredible influence on your daughters in this area, even if it's never spoken of in those precise terms. Dads need to remember that their little girls are always looking to them to see that sign of approval and love in their eyes. And it's so easy to, you know, compliment your daughter and say, oh, that's a pretty dress, honey, or when she has her hair done up, say, oh, you look beautiful. And those are fine things to say. But what I would encourage dads to do as well is to look for those intrinsic qualities to compliment in your daughter. You know, catch your daughter doing something really kind and say, you know what, I really appreciate how you were so kind to her. I realized that your friend was going through a tough day, and I saw you really took time out when you could have been doing something else and spent time to encourage her, and that's really great. Or just finding those qualities that you want to encourage in your daughter and pointing them out and praising her for them so that daughters are not only, you know, told by their dads that they're beautiful or praised for their looks, but that it's far more often they're praised for just being the kind of person, having the kind of heart, doing the things, those qualities that a dad would love to see in his daughter.
We're just about out of time here, but I want to say maybe there's a scripture or something that you recommend we could review just to give us some help and hope in this area.
Yeah,
sure.
Psalms 45:10-11, listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. I love this verse just because it says, you know, it's talking straight to the daughter. Listen, forget your people, forget what everyone else says and the criticism, but think about God because he is enthralled by your beauty.
Chris, how about you?
In 1 Peter 3, verse 4, It says that your beauty comes from inside you. It's the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Beauty like this doesn't fade away, and God places great value on it. And so no matter what you feel like you see in the mirror today, that if women who hear our voices will realize that the true beauty inside of you cannot be captured in any piece of glass, that the true beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is something permanent and eternal. It won't fade away, and that God places great value on you.
Beauty Begins, the name of the book, Making Peace with Your Reflection, written by Chris Shook and daughter Megan Shook Alpha. Chris and Megan, thank you for your work today in this area and for encouraging us about seeing ourselves as God sees us.
Well, we love spending time with you, and thank you so much for having us. Mm-hmm.
Little girl 14 flipping through a magazine, says she wants to look that way. But her hair isn't straight, her body isn't fake, and she's always felt overweight. Well, little girl 14, I wish that you could see the beauty is within your heart. And you were made with such care, your skin, your body, and your hair are perfect just the way they are. They can never be more beautiful.
Talking about beauty today, Beauty Begins, Making Peace with Your Reflection. I always like to do a little takeaway and something that maybe we learned or can apply. Ted, what are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I always appreciate what she said about sharing your testimony. Nobody can argue your own testimony. Yeah. I remember as a youth leader empowering my youth with that thought, and it's really true, you know, and just good encouragement to be reminded of that. And it ties into the topic, too, what you're talking about with body image, because you share your story, and as a parent, you know, share with your kids, you know, when I was young, I used to struggle with this, and here's how I dealt with that, or here's what God showed me about that, and passing on that wisdom to your kids, very helpful.
Yeah.
That's really good, Ted. And do you mind if I share my story?
I would like you to share your story,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the only way that I've been able to overcome this is with the power of Jesus Christ and what his word says about me. Hmm. And so I really resonated with what they were saying is seeing beauty through the eyes of Christ rather than culture or our peers. And I used to believe those lies, and it was only in the last, I would say, 4 years or so that I've been really able to look at myself in the mirror with kinder eyes, look at myself in pictures, and just really see that we are all made so wonderfully and fearfully made by God, and we're so unique, and to just not be so hard on myself if something is different from somebody else, but just truly see the beauty that God created. And also the scriptures that I've really clung on to in my life are Psalm 139, just that we are beautifully and fearfully made. Also, Matthew 6:25, to just not worry about the clothes that we're going to wear. You know, it's just so consuming, and it's a way for the enemy to just take our time in the morning rather than spending it with God. So,
good words. Yeah. She quoted the Message paraphrase. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. I like that visual. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet, strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. It's a good word today. Beauty Begins. Thanks for the feedback. We're going to jump in with Leith Anderson here in just a moment. We've got some conversation to talk about. Pastors and summer. Is there anybody there, right? They're all up at the lake. We'll talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about Hope for Students, the new resource from the National Association of Evangelicals. That's all coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned. We've been talking today about beauty, about understanding, you know, God's design for us and our image in Him. Leith Anderson makes a visit with us every couple weeks or so. We're honored to have him back with us today. He's been president of the National Association of Evangelicals since 2006 and was a senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for 35 years and teaches regularly in seminaries and writes. And I want to talk, Leith, welcome back, first of all. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
One of the new resources I know that National Association of Evangelicals is talking about is called Hope for Students. And it seems like when we've been talking about body image, that that'd be a good place to start. Tell us about Hope for Students.
Yeah, this is something that we cooperate with the Expectations Project. So if somebody wants to learn more about it, that's a good name to Google, the Expectations Project. But what it's rooted in is education inequity that we have between schools in the United States. So, for example, we know that the education that a child gets can determine much of the rest of life. In fact, the zip code of a student can sort of predict poverty or prosperity, sickness or health, marriage and family. And we estimate that there are at least 50,000 schools in the United States that need help. And we know that we have at least 350,000 churches in the United States. So that means that there's six times more churches than there are schools that need help. And Hope for Students is encouraging Christians and churches particularly to just engage in this, to pray for schools. And while giving backpacks and you know, school supplies, that's really helpful. What's most helpful is when churches will adopt a school, pray, provide mentors, do this long-term and an ongoing basis, and it can be transformative in the lives of children.
It's a look for Expectations Project, and just it's obviously it's back-to-school time. It's kind of back-to-school time, I guess, for Sunday school and churches as well. I mean, this is, I don't know, when you were pastoring, was this a time of year when you were kind of, everybody was sort of gearing up, say, all right, here's how we're going to relaunch in September?
September is the time when churches, they used to have what was called Rally Day, and some churches still do, the Sunday after Labor Day. In much of America, we're trying to extend the summer holiday kind of through September. So for many churches, September is kind of a shoulder season, getting ready to really ramp up in October. But there's no doubt that for those that aren't in resort areas, summer is a slower time.
Yeah. Is that a concern as a pastor that, you know, maybe some of your you know, members aren't there on weekends? They're, you know, they're up at the lake or someplace?
Well, as a pastor, that bothered me, except when I was up at the lake,
okay.
When I was on vacation. And you know, to be really candid, I didn't think about it too much then when I was the one who was away. But, you know, this is normal. People buy more ice cream in the summertime, and they go to church less in the summertime. If the church is in Arizona or Florida, then church attendance peaks in the wintertime. So, yeah, it's a normal part of life. And some churches have been really creative in offering web services so you can participate through your phone or over the internet on your computer. And then some churches, I can tell you about a rural church in Minnesota in a town of 6,000 that was running about 600 in attendance. And they offered a Wednesday night service, not a Wednesday night program. They actually provide the same service on Wednesday night, same music, same sermon as on Sunday morning. And immediately their attendance grew by about 200. So that's almost a 33% increase by recognizing the reality of people's schedules and providing a service that fits in. So there are lots of things to do.
You know, not too long ago, I know you wrote a book about volunteering, and I'm wondering if you have just a word of encouragement if, you know, we're in the kind of recruiting season for volunteers to help with the programs that go on year-round.
Summertime's a good time to recruit. It's true that people are away, but they, you know, when things have slowed down a little bit, maybe they're more likely to say yes. Last-minute recruiting is kind of a dangerous thing to do because sometimes you'll get people that will say yes at the last minute, but they won't continue doing it. So, yeah, The Volunteer Church is a book that talks about how to do that. And some of the rules are really simple. Number one rule is ask. The number one reason in America that people don't give money and don't volunteer is that no one ever asked them. And so asking is really good. And the ask probably is not best from the pulpit or an email blast. The best ones to ask are other volunteers who have been in the position or in that ministry, and then they recruit others, especially among their friends. So ask and get other volunteers to do the asking. It goes a long way.
Well, I'm going to just shift gears for just a minute before we let you go. You know, fall election, we're not electing a pastor-in-chief, but I think we sometimes wonder, you know, can we expect the kind of moral authority from the people that we put in office?
Well, politicians aren't supposed to be pastors, but moral authority is really important. And the moral foundation of candidates, that shapes how they're going to behave in situations that were actually unknown and unpredictable when they were campaigning and when they were elected. So, yeah, I care a lot about the moral authority that someone brings to a national or a local office. And for me, that's why I start with the Bible, because the Bible's about moral authority, and it says a lot about political issues. It says a lot about poverty, 2,000 references about immigration, 92 teachings in the Bible about prisoners and about forgiving people and how we relate. So as Christians, we start with the moral authority of the Bible, and then we choose candidates who reflect the moral authority that we believe is necessary for things that they can't yet anticipate.
And there's a new book, Leith, you've got out about faith in the voting booth. I'd recommend that as well. Leith Anderson is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, joining us today for a highlight on Connecting Faith. Leith, always good to talk with you. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
All right. Be glad to be back with you. Thank you.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, 56 past the hour.
What exactly does praying without ceasing look like? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and today on Making Your Life Count, Vicki Courtney describes this important aspect of her life.
I love where we're told to pray constantly because to me, you know, it should always be open-ended. And I heard someone say before that they don't close their prayers with amen because there should be no end to our prayers.
Vicki focuses on the continuing nature of talking with God throughout the day.
I think too often we turn prayer into something that's on our to-do list that we do in the mornings and maybe at bedtime. But once we look at it as an ongoing conversation with the Lord, then it really reinforces the relationship component that we are desperately dependent on Him throughout the day to join us in everything we're doing.
What a powerful way to make a difference. Do you want to learn more? Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Okay. 12:57. Connecting Faith continues. Host Neil Stavem back in the chair.
we're looking forward to tomorrow. Guest host Aaron Extrand is going to talk with relations expert Dr. Mike Bechtel about his latest book. It says, "I wish he had come with instructions: The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain."
Oh boy, we're getting picked on.
So it's. You know, you never know what you're going to hear on Connecting Faith, but that'll be great. So, The Woman's Guide to a Man's Brain, you'll want to check that out tomorrow on Connecting Faith. Hey, if you missed part of the show today, of course, you can always find the interviews. We post them online on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. When you're there, look at opportunities to sign up for the Bible giveaway, the Family Life Marriage Bible giveaway, giving that away each week as well. And the Live Free Challenge still underway, and you can check that out and be an encouragement to someone else who's maybe trying to get fit and make a difference in the area of social justice. So great opportunities. You can find out more about it online at myfaithradio.com.